So there's a few people that weren't here last week, so I'll just start from the beginning. I was saved at an early age, about 13 or 14. I'm not sure what the date was, but and was baptized at a non-denominational church here in town, and went through high school, college, was a fairly good girl. I met John and in college, and we he seemed to fit all of the qualities that I wanted in a husband. So we got married and had two kids. We have Maddie, who's 7, and Knox, who's 3. And right before Knox turned 1, a week before, Maddie was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And that was really the first time that I realized that I don't have zero control of what happens in my life. And, you know, we had it all. We had the American, you know, life. We had these two great kids, great jobs, both of us, nice house, all of it. And so that was really when God started working on me. So that year, that was in March of 2013, and I had been serving a lot of different gods, little gods in my life, fitness and vanity, and John was a god in my life and my kids, and so I believe, you know, through these circumstances, God just started revealing that to me, that my focus was not on him. So I went to a parenting class that Dr. Kent teaches, and he said the best thing that you can do to be a better parent is to read your Bible every day. And I had wanted to read my Bible every day. I just hadn't really made the commitment and done it. So I just said, okay, well, starting right now, that's what I'm going to do. So I did, and started really, the Bible just started becoming alive to me for the first time. So that's just how he kind of started preparing me for what was to come. So as he said, the week before Christmas, Knox had gotten sick, and so I went home early and picked him up and came home and, found a text message on John's iPad that was very inappropriate. And so I called him and said a lot of choice words. And he said, you know, he lied and said it was just a text. And so I just prayed. I was like, God, what am I supposed to do with this? You know, I don't believe him. So I asked God to just give me peace if he's telling the truth. And I didn't have anything else to go on other than I just knew that I used to call it the hate vibe. He would get like in these angry times, and we really didn't fight a lot. We never really yelled at each other or anything, but we just those times where I was like, okay, I'm not gonna go near him right now. And so I just started praying. Just, I've never been so deep in the Word in my life. And but then time was going on, and he wasn't telling me anything else. And it just seemed like life was continuing, and I didn't believe him. And so I prayed. I just was like, God, I can't do this anymore. I either need to have peace, or I need him to tell me the truth. I need you to reveal whatever it is. I just can't do this. And so it was probably a week later that he came home one night, and that was on Monday, and just kind of got the kids to bed, and I just remember him looking at me, and I don't even know what he said, but I was like, "You're about to drop a bomb on me, aren't you?" And he was like, "Yeah." And so, sat down, and he told me that he had had 4 affairs over the last 4 years, and so I'm like doing the math, you know, and I just kind of crumbled. I asked a lot of detailed questions, and he answered, and then I asked him to leave. I didn't really know what to do, but I went into my bathroom, and I had these little pieces of chalk all over the house, because when Daryl was talking about Life Action was coming in a few months, they gave us a piece of chalk and said, "If you want revival, draw a circle around yourself." And so I had one in our half bath, and I was just on the floor crying and praying, and I saw the chalk and just like drew it around me on the floor, and God just he just told me, he said, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, sorry, anything excellent and praiseworthy, think of these things." And so that night, I didn't even know that verse. Like, literally, he just told that to me. And so I looked it up in my Bible and then another version. And that night, I just kept saying it over and over in my mind. Just anything excellent and praiseworthy, let me think of these things tonight. And so the next morning, at this time, back up with Maddie, her, at this point, she had had diabetes for not quite a year, but we were transitioning to get a pump, and that transition is really hard. Just extreme lows and extreme highs a lot, and so there was a lot of stress in that area, and so I was exhausted. She was up probably 2 or 3 times a night with lows, and she was 5, so that was violent crying and me trying to get sugar in her. And so, you know, I told him to leave, and I was really scared that I might have to take her to the hospital. And so I was like, okay, well, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I really wanted to come back, and we had an extra room and that he could stay at, and I was like, just come back to the house just until we get this situated with Maddie. And so that's how to me that was how God used a really bad situation to bring him back home, because I wasn't ready for it. But, so he came back home, that was Tuesday, and then the next day, we were just kind of walking around the house, and I was just praying. I just could tell he still had this hate vibe, and you know, I didn't know really what was causing it. I just knew that I didn't have peace, and I just kept praying for, you know, "Do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to the Lord, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Him." And I just prayed that, and I never had it. And so, but I did, God clearly told me that I have to forgive Him, and I have to love Him. And my parents are divorced, and they were oddly really good friends growing up. And so I saw my mom love my dad through a divorce. And so I'm thankful for seeing that, because I knew it could be done. But God just said, you gotta tell him that. And so I did not want to, but I told him, said, I don't know what I'm going to do. In my mind, I thought, we're definitely getting a divorce, and I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just doing what God says. And I had a lot of friends and family that were just telling me I should do this and this and this. And just, I was so just, I had so many different opinions myself about what to do that I really just didn't trust myself. Because one minute I was thinking about getting remarried, and the next minute I'm, you know, with him. And so I lost my train of thought. So I told him that I forgave him and I was going to love him through this. And not that I just instantly forgave him, but I knew that I was going to, and that I had to, and that I could. And so I just, it was like once I said it, it made it real. And, but the change in him was really remarkable. So we part our ways and we go, and I try and go to work or whatever. And, Friday he had gone back to work, and there were several like things that had to be done as far as guardrails and things that needed to be cleaned up that we had done that week. And so that Friday he texted me and said, I see myself for who I am now. And it just infuriated me because I knew he didn't. And I was just like, no, like, don't text me, don't call me, don't do anything until you're right, because you certainly don't see yourself rightly. And so he said, okay, well, meet me at the house. And so we met, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, like, what is he going to tell me? Nothing can be worse than this. And just, I didn't really know, but he came and told me, said that he had been addicted to Lortabs for 7 years. And I mean, yes, I was very shocked, and you know, it was like 7 years, like, how did I not see that? But he was just kind of like, I had texted a few people, JJ and some people, and just said, pray for me right now. And so they had texted me back, and I was just like over the conversation, and picked up my phone just to look at it. And he was like, don't tell Troy what I just told you. And I was like, why do you care, like, who I tell and who knows and whatever, like, you know, how are you still so prideful that you even care? Because, like, this is, like, you don't get any worse. And anyway, we went to his parents' house, and his parents and his dad was, I mean, I think that, I don't know what God was trying to prove about the timing for his dad, but he was, like, on his bed, couldn't speak, nothing. And so he tells him, and me and his dad both were like, what are you going to do? Like, we can't do anything else. Like, there's nothing we can do. So he walked outside, and I called a few of his friends, Trinity and Jim and Troy, and said, y'all need to come over here because I can't do this. I can't talk to him. And when they went upstairs to pray, I was in prayer while they were up there. And when it came down, that peace of God that transcends all understanding had come. like, there was no more hate vibe. It was just, like, I knew that he was going to be okay. And, so, you know, then I'm like, okay, this is weird. And you know, I just didn't know where to go from there. And, I had been praying so much for him and what, you know, his, I don't know, just him, that I hadn't really dealt with what was going on with me. And it was like that day he got completely free. And I fell into just like this pit of darkness. And I knew it, you know. I just thought, well, I'm just really tired. And so I told John to come sleep in the bed, and Maddie was between us. And I was just like, take care of her tonight. Just don't touch me. Don't look at me. I just need some sleep. And so that night at 3:00 in the morning on the dot, Knox wakes up screaming, and he would sleep through the night all the time. And he woke up, and Maddie got low at the same time. And so I'm like, God, what? You know, like, can I just get some sleep? And I just pleaded with him. I was just like, what do you want from me? I'll do anything. I don't know what. And so I read Psalm 139. Search me and know my heart. Try me if there's any wicked way in me. Lead me to the way everlasting. And I just remember being on the floor, just like, just show me whatever it is. And so that morning I got up and went into the living room, and he was on the couch with Knox, and he was like, do you think you could watch him so I can go to the bathroom? I'm like, okay. So he got up, and when he looked at me, I could just see he had put me up on this pedestal, just like looked at me like I was so perfect and pure. And that was when the conviction like rained down on me. And and this is the hard part. When we had met, I was a virgin, and we had sex outside of marriage before we were married. And we broke up a couple of times, and I had sex with two other guys during that time, and I never told him. He had never asked me, because we got back together and then eventually got married. And I never saw an opportunity to say, hey, this is what happened when we were broken up. And I asked God's forgiveness and was forgiven, and believed that. And I just kind of put it in the past and didn't think about it again. Until God showed me that I lied through omission to him. And so I wasn't the person that he thought I was. And here I was mourning the fact that the person I thought I'd married didn't really exist. I don't know how to explain that in a better way, but just like when I would look at pictures and memories, you know, of childbirth and different things, I was like, I didn't even know him, and he didn't know me. But so I confessed it to him and asked for his forgiveness, and of course he said yes, and he forgave me. But that was the biggest gift that God had given me was to that conviction, because I would have, even though I'd forgiven him, that really wasn't an issue, but just me seeing myself as a sinner and that bad of a sinner as him, I just don't think I could have done it. And so, so that was basically when we started living, you know, in freedom, both of us. And, you know, just the, there was a lot of healing that had to happen, and a lot of rough stuff. And we're still not, you know, we won't get there, but we've learned how to live in the light. And, you know, talking about Adam and Eve, just how God designed marriage for us to be naked and unashamed. And for the first time, we were naked and unashamed in front of our Father and in front of each other. And it was, you know, what God wanted. And so that's it. We're just grateful to be here and still be married and love each other more than we ever have.